Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and go to the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, 1 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter number 7. I appreciate the music tonight. What a blessing it was. Choir, what a blessing. And just really settled my heart. The Lord wrote a couple messages for tonight and really were had made a decision. But you always, as a preacher, I'm sure others have gone and stepped in the pulpit and you feel, did I make the right decision? Am I in the right place? Is this where God wants me to be? And so I believe the music tonight is right where we're right where God has directed us to be tonight. For the tape room tonight, the message title will be 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 18 through 22. But we'll read a few verses before that up in verse 13. But the message title will be Details Happen by Design. Details Happen by Design. This is not something brand new, and if you've been in church any time, you've heard someone preach around this area of Scripture without a doubt. The setting is Solomon building the temple, and he's kind of finishing up all these different things and works there. And the term that we're going to see tonight is going to hone in on the word lily work. Now, lily work is just the finishing touches, and we'll kind of read some of the Scripture, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the finished work, the things that happen by design. There has to be a purpose and a plan in one's heart. When we set out, a lot of times things happen in the Christian life. Things just happen to us. Man, I knew I needed help, and I came to church, and I found the Lord. Well, he wasn't lost, folks. You were.
Amen.
I was. Amen. And I came and I didn't realize all I was going to get when I got Jesus Christ. I didn't realize what I was going to get when I joined this church. I didn't realize all of what I was getting into when I surrendered to the ministry. Amen. You say, preacher, you really feel like that? I just mean I there's a lot of things that happened to me by surprise. I just stepped out in faith. But when we're talking about the lily work of the Christian life, and that's really what I want to get down to, the finishing work of the Christian life, the things that matter, the little detailed things that God wants for us, you know, those things happen by design. They don't happen by accident. We don't just stumble across them. We don't come to church and it happens for us. A lot of times when we come to church and we make it to God's house, it's an event. And many of you work, but there are other things that happen and you don't even know who did them. Today you walked in the building and some of us know that, but I mean the bathrooms were cleaned, but not all of us know how that happened. We just know it happened. We came in on the parking lot this morning and there was somebody here that had a parking lot reserved for them, but maybe you walk in and you see, man, the lines are painted up nice, bright and shiny, but that didn't just happen. Somebody did it. And it happened by design. The parking lot, when it's swept and it's blown off and it looks really nice, that didn't just happen. It gets dirty like any other parking lot on planet Earth. And again, but somebody by design has to go out there and blow it off and make sure that it looks good for church. The buses, you know, recently I think one of the buses, somebody got upset because one of them was dirty. You know, they were using it for something else and it just was nasty. You know, they don't clean themselves. They have to be clean, and somebody has to purposely desire to clean it off and make sure that it's set up and clean for the master's use. And in every one of our lives, when we boil it all the way down, and we're not just talking about, we're talking right now, physical things that we can see, but they happen, and sometimes we don't even think about it. They happen and we don't even know. You know, you could drive by this church on a daily basis and you go, man, every day the parking lot is full. That doesn't happen by accident. It happened by design. One ministry after the other was started by design to have, not so we could be busy, but we could be used. Or if I could say the details of each one of those happened because that's what God directed and it was by design. And in the Christian life, God has laid out a wonderful book and he doesn't just deal in vague generalities. He wants to shape and mold and really do the lily work in your life, if you'll let him, by design. He has a place for every one of us. Even here in the Scripture tonight, as we'll get ready to read it, they're talking about pillars. in the house of our God. You know how many times we walk in, and many of us, you know, the way they designed the auditorium here, there really ought to be another pillar in here. Now, don't worry, the ceiling's not going to fall in on you. All right? But by design, there's no pillar there because they didn't want an obstruction from people in their view looking towards the pulpit and towards the area here. So they had to design the building differently so there were no pillars. These are pillars, folks. These things right here are holding the building up. The same pew that's holding you up, these things are holding the whole place up and holding a roof up. And when we begin to think about that, we don't even think about it, but all the time they're at work. All the time, there's a big piece of steel in there doing its job, holding its ground, holding all the weight that it was designed to hold, and it does it week after week. It does it whether you're here or not. It does it whether the building is full or whether the building is empty. It does it whether there are people here to cheer it on or whether nobody's here to clap at all. We don't often think about that in the Christian life, but you know, there's so many things in our lives, so many times, We go and work through the Christian life and we do all the things that people will clap for us for. We'll do all the things that we're urged to do, but one of the things that oftentimes the finished work of the Christian life, the real hidden secret place, walk with God, the lily work of your Christian life has to happen for you by design. The preacher isn't going to be there to walk you through it. At one time, you know, when you get out of high school and you get into college, nobody's there to tell you when to read your Bible. There's no more family devotions unless you start them with your family. There's no more time or anybody checking on you to make sure that you have a walk with God. You got to do it on your own. And that's when God works. That's when God does the work that nobody else is going to see. But they're going to feel when they meet you. You know, there's a difference between a soul winner who is soul winning and has walked with God, has met with God in the morning. It's just a whole total difference. And doesn't mean that you can't have the same knowledge and understand, but there's difference between one that is led and has asked God in the morning in a secret place, God, give me an opportunity to win a soul, than one that somebody almost has to knock you down and trip you up to get you to give them the gospel. There's a difference between somebody that has made a preparation of their heart in the morning and done the lily work, and they're looking. And again, for me, it's like this. It's always in their place, always doing the work, always holding the building, whether anybody notices or not. That's what the lily work is. Look at the scripture with me today. And I want to look at verse chapter 7 and go to verse, if you would, verse 13. I want you to see the man. Solomon brings a man up, and we don't have time tonight with all the details of what we want to get into in the scripture. We want to just make sure that you see here, he's making some pillars, and there's a lot of pillars in Solomon's temple, and we could take much time to talk about how beautiful this place was. And just let me remind you, when they build this temple and it is finished, God's train fills the temple. It is one of the most beautiful places in scripture to read about where God meets with man on planet earth. He did that in the tabernacle, but this place was a place that they made, and God set it out. God engineered it. God did all these things to, and I preached on it just a week ago. It was all a picture of what was in heaven. It was all these things that we're going to see one day, but were not made with man's hands, but made by God. And it's a beautiful place. But Solomon's temple was a good replica. I mean, his dad had worked most of his life conquering and setting aside all the things that he would need, the gold, the brass, the copper, I mean, everything he would need, the stone, I mean, the jewels, everything. He had laid up, spent a lifetime of laying up so that Solomon, and then Solomon, through his wisdom, accepted God and asked God to help him rule his people, and Solomon was given more wealth. Solomon was given all these things, and he invested those in the work of God in the temple, and so much so that when they built another temple, when Nehemiah shows up and him and they build this temple there in you know, Nehemiah's day, the old men cry because they remember what the temple used to look like. The young men are rejoicing because they have a place to worship, but the old men cry because they remember what it used to be like. They remember just how grand it was and just what God had done. And so for us in our lives, this is one of my desires. And let me just go ahead and reveal before. I don't want to be coy. I don't want the old men to cry about the church that I pastor. I don't want the old men to cry when they see the day and age that we live, because it ain't like it used to be. The church ain't all that it used to be. The soul winning ain't like it used to be. Hey, folks, I'm not talking about the droves and number of people, but when people walk through the back door, the greatest compliment they can give the Landmark Baptist Church is it has not changed one bit. It's just like it used to be. The music is just like it used to be. The Bible is the same as it used to be. The preaching is just as fiery as it used to be. The people are as friendly as they used to be. Hey, folks, I just want you to know, I don't want to ever get to the place where the lily work is not being done in the lives of God's people, so that people come in and they notice, even though nothing seems to change in your life, it's because the lily work's not being done. And whatever it is, the pillar, whether you're a greeter, whether you're a cleaner, I mean, we could go through the list of all the things that God's people do, and nobody knows that you do it. But that makes Landmark what it is. That makes us who we are. Our devotions in our quiet place, our prior time, a prayer time in our quiet place, all the things that we live out in our Christian life in a secret place is what makes this place different. It's what makes this place, when people walk in the back door and go, there's just a different spirit in this place. There's a spirit that I can feel when I come in. I don't ever want that to change. Look at it. With Hiram is the man that God's going to call, give to Solomon, if you would. And look at verse number 13. And it says, "And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass, and he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work." Now I want you to skip down with me to verse 18. "And he made the pillars and the two rows round about upon the one network to cover the captors that were upon the top, which with pomegranates, and so did he with the other captors." And then he goes on and he says, chapters, if you would, "and the chapters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. And the captors upon the two pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly, which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon the other chapter. And he set upon the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set upon the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished." Now, let me just say this. I've said much, and I just want to give you a picture. You say, well, what exactly is the lily work here? Preacher, the lily work is on a lot of stuff. It was the detail work in lines, the beautiful decorations that went up the pillars. Now, these pillars that he names here are not all the pillars, but in rows, but two sets on each side of main pillars that are made of brass, and he names them. And we'll get to that at the end of the message. But what he's really specifically speaking about, there's so much pillar, there's so much function, there's so many things happening in the story here. But the place that he focuses in is that when you put a pillar up like this, it's got to hook to the ceiling. It's got to have a good fit. Here in our day and age, we bolt and put things together, but they didn't have that in the temple. Everything was perfectly notched and fitted together so that it fell together and slipped together just right. And this top or cap or chapter, whatever it is here in the scripture, is like, if you've ever seen a pillar, the top of that cap is going to sit and rest and has a flat top. But the lily work didn't stop. You know, in our day, most craftsmen, when they're doing things and you look at a pillar that stands up there, it looks so beautiful and the lily work is done. But if you get up and look at the top of it, it's just raw and nasty concrete. It's not finished at all. Why? Because nobody's ever going to see it. It's just made all the beautiful part that's going to do that. That's important because everybody's going to look at all that detail and they're going to look at how beautiful the building is and everything. But you remember, this building was being made for God. It was his temple. And he was going to see even between the cap of that pillar and the cap that sat upon the top of the pillar and rested there. They didn't stop because they weren't working for just anybody. They were working for God. And as they continue to work and worked. They took that pattern that had gone all through the outside that everybody could see, and they worked it on the cap of that pillar and on the chapter on the top, and they notched all those, and they're using the word pomegranates here, but was kind of like a viney type of plant with, you know, flowery thing that we would put on there. And they even named it lily work after a flower, and they etched all that not only on the top but even on the bottom of the chapter and set it together for no one ever to see again until probably the Romans tore the place apart. But somebody could see that place, and it was God. God came in and filled the temple. And oftentimes we don't think about when God fills a place up that there's no place that God can't go. You know, between the top of that pillar and the top of the cap, we would think that's a space. Why would even God want to be there? Because God, when God fills a place, he wants all of it. There's no place there that should be unholy. All of it was holy, dedicated, and fixed for the Lord. And in our Christian life, oftentimes we forget the fact that we're his temple. That there's no place that's not holy. That there's no place that's not worth finishing. That there's no place. You know, a lot of times in the Christian life, we work really hard on the outside. We'll work real hard on our speech so that we can talk Christian. We work real hard on our dress so people look like we're dressing Christian, when the most important, God doesn't stay on the outside anyway. He lives on the inside. He wants the details. Nobody else can look and see my heart. They can only see my fruit. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we work harder on the things that man can see for us and of us than the things that God knows about us on a daily basis. And if there was something that a church like us, that we really, I mean, we're pretty good about the outside stuff. We got the foundations built, and we got a good foundation upon the Word of God. And if we're going to build and work the lily work, then we've got to come to a place that we want the details to be done by design. And folks, I don't know about you, but you know that this temple, the temple in the scripture, was not ordered by a man. He wasn't the one saying, I want, you know, desert sand for a color on the inside, or I want, you know, perfect pink, or whatever it is that you would paint your domicile. This is God's house. He has designed how he wants man to live. He has designed how he wants us to walk. He has designed how holy he wants us to be. He has decided how the details ought to be worked in our lives. Think about it like this. The lily work should cover our prayer life, shouldn't it? Not just a facade or a Pharisaical prayer, but one that is gone way past that, but into a detailed prayer list. Not just for me and mine, but for the work of God. You know, oftentimes we don't think about this, and I don't know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody tonight, but think about your prayer list. And sometimes, most of the time when I've ever been in a group and we pray, or we even talk about how long, when we had the board back here, how long we had to pray. And people would say, how am I going to pray that long? You know, there is so much to pray for. When you get down to the lily work, it starts to be, there's not going to be enough time to pray. Now I got to pray by detail and by design, so I get through so many names and I cut it off. I've got to go to this other thing, and I'm going to pick up my prayer list over here tomorrow because my time is up. You say, preacher, is it really like that? It's really like that. When you start getting the lily work, you know, when these folks come in, like them Harris boys and their mama, you know, it ain't been that long ago that they were just here. We haven't even clicked off a full month, and I dare to say, I wonder how many of us have prayed for their mama continually. We did, and we were faithful when they were here, but I'm just using them as an example of just how quickly something can pass off our radar and go off, but that is the lily work that makes the difference. You want to impress a missionary, you want to impress a singing group, people that come and try to serve us and come fly by night, and they're here just to sing and try to get our hearts right for the preaching of God's word. When you remember their mama's name because you've been calling it out in prayer, when they return to this place 2 years later, that shows the lily work of God's been done in your life. Not because you're trying to be seen of men, but because it's the details. You know, the world says the devil's in the details. Do you know he's got a whole world out there prepared for you to etch all the inside of your life? And many of us succumb to letting him draw the details of our lives. We get out of church and the first thing we run to is the television. We get out of church, the first thing we run to is our phones. We get out of church and we run to whatever has us and what is drawing the details on the inside of us and has us and owns us and is etching us, not for good, not for God's glory. Hey, I'm not trying to be hard tonight. I'm just trying to tell you, I want God to be doing the lily work on and inside of me. And if something else has me other than him, you say, well, can I watch TV, preacher? You may find something good on there. I'm just being real. Your phones, social media. Amen? You say, preacher, you know, listen, I'm just going to be as honest as I can be. 2 decades ago, preachers got up and slammed and beat, banned, and bruised social media. And I wish God's people had listened to them. They weren't wrong. Don't think the rollback of everybody taking it, it's just because instead of the church holding its ground and living holy and unto the Lord, we just went the way of the world. Say, preacher, social media is wrong. You can use so many tools that are out there for good. But if every one of us in this room were to clock our time on so many of those things, tell me what good you did in that time. You show me the souls that were won because of it. You show me how God moved and drew lily work in your life because of it. Most of the time, two things are happening. You're wasting your time or you're stalking somebody to figure out whether they're living for the Lord. That's just the reality of the world that we live in. Or you're posting things that nobody really needs to know about anyway. Nobody cares what you had for breakfast. Amen and amen. As we see the day approaching, the lily work becomes more important. The strokes become broader and the time gets shorter that God can work in my life. And Christians need to get in tune with God's design for their lives. The lily work of prayer. How about the lily work of devotions? Personal devotions in the Christian's life will change you. It will form you. It will do lily work in you that nothing else on planet Earth can do. It will not only show up in your speech, in the way you practice your Christianity on a daily basis, but it will change your spirit. And people will notice it on the outside because of the work of God on the inside of you. You can't forego it. You can't trade it for I've got to, you know, I'm going to spend time with God or I'm going to spend time in social media. Throw the phone away, folks, and get in God's word. Surrender the things that have you, the devil's details, and get in God's details of design for your life. Long before, the devil is a great imposter, folks. He has done all he could. God had a plan for us to walk with him on a daily basis, and he has done everything he can do. The prince and the power of the air has gone 3G, 4G, and 5G, and he continues to amp up his power to be able to capture your time and your energy for his usage. And even though he can't have you and damn you to a devil's hell, even though he can't do that because you're saved, he still can own you on a daily basis because you let him. This is not popular. I realize it's going out on the radio and over social media even now. But I preach this message because God told me to. And not only that, but I just want you to I want God's people to get real with God again and realize that our time is short and that my job is supposed to edify the body of Christ. And if we're going to be built up, we got to stop being weighed down by all the things that the devil has prepared for us, not God. the lily work of devotion. How about the lily work of charity? You know, love, true love in our day. We're going to go through the love month here. And the world has tried to fill this month up with so many different things. But true love is what sets apart the Christian. When God's people, when people walk in this building, the spirit that they truly should feel is love for the brethren. That's the spirit of God moving in this building, is because I love. There's a sense of charity hovering the building. The spirit of God is witnessing with others that these people, you know what witnesses to the world? That we love one another. That's how the world can know that we're not like any other assembly. We're a church. Do you know, I've been in a lot of assemblies and not many of those people love each other in there. But this is one God called out to be his people. And if God is love, then his people ought to be love. Not love in the world, not love in social media, not love in everything that the world loves, but love in each other. Because we're not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're going somewhere together. And he's left us with a great commission to fulfill. So all of our speech, all of our energy, all of our togetherness ought to be building up and edifying the body of Christ, or getting after others that can get in the body of Christ. That's where our energy should be spent. And too often times, the lily work of our life, we're not cutting details of charity. We're cutting details of division. Right. With our words, with our actions between each other. We're not trying to scroll things and try to match the way God's design is for his church. We're trying to, and I don't want to say split the church. I mean, that's a super bad term, but you know, I mean, our church is big enough. You're like, sometimes we just give up and say, I'm going to get to know the people on this side. Them people over there, you know? Sometimes we get like that, but this is all the body of Christ. And sometimes we're going to have to move out of our comfort zone and scare the preacher to death because you sit somewhere different. Why? Because I want to get to know God's people. I don't want to just love the three pews that I sit in all the time. I want to love everybody. I want to show them I care for them. You say, preacher, I don't really want to move. Well, move around before the service. Hang out after. Hold up a sign and say, I'm old, come to me. Amen? Hey, folks, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, and we may get laughing about it, but we desperately need each other. Think about the lily work of encouragement. Who else is going to do that but God's people? Who else can encourage you? You're going to go to your friend at the work and he's going to say, hey, I heard a great CD this week. I want you to listen to it. I would be weird. I'd be worried about that. Amen. But it's a whole different thing when your brother in Christ says, man, they had a group at Senior Patriots this week. You ought to hear them. Man, I heard this on the radio and I got it. I wanted to give it to you. I heard a great message this week and I burned it on a CD because it's just what you need because you're living in sin. That's not what you want. That's not encouragement. Hey, folks, I was just trying to make sure you were still listening. Hey, we live in that day and age where a lot of times if we do go out of our way and we're trying to be an encouragement, sometimes we're not. We need to desperately understand. We're not trying to push. Here, let me cut the lily work on you. You can't do it. It doesn't happen on the outside. It's the work of God on the inside. But we can be an encourager. Right. You know, somebody, and I'll mention who he is. You know, there's a lot of people that have been here a long time and people, you know, talking about just encouragement. I left Thursday night. We had visitation over there and Dr. Nixon turns the lights on, and most of you don't know who's there, but he's always there. He turns the lights on, turns them off, unlocks the doors, locks the doors, but it all happens. You could show up for Thursday night, and you may not know how it all happens, that it always happens, no matter whether the preacher, Brother Perkins, who's there, that happens because of the lily work. And as I was walking out of the building, this may not be, I mean, it was a big deal to me. You know, I mean, I just clicked my first year off. We're heading out. I'm saying, hey, we need to do follow-up on God's people. God's people need to get out. We need to do follow-up. We need not only to have fruit, but fruit that remains. Brother Nixon, just stop me for a second. He didn't lay it on thick. You know, he didn't tell me that I was the best singer in all the world that he's ever heard or anything like that. But he just stopped me for a moment and he said, I've been here 42 years. I wanted to tell you, you're doing a good job. Hey, folks, you don't realize what that meant to me. That's somebody that's worked on staff here for years. That's somebody that's been in the trenches. He's been the camp director. He knows what I've gone through for years over there. Amen? If you've never slept at camp, you don't know what it's like out there. You just show up for a service. That ain't camp, okay? I just want to tell you that, okay? Hey, but you know, I'm not the only one that needs that. There are other people that are doing Lily work that need encouragement. There's other people that need you to come up and not just the ones that sing. Sometimes we're faithful to do that, but how about others? Then you find out that what detail they do around here, and you go to them and say, thank you for what you do. Thank you for how you hold your area of God's work up on a daily basis. Thank you for it. Hey, charity, encouragement, how about the lily work of faithfulness? You know, faithfulness is one of those things, and we often don't really see or really account for lily work until we're at a funeral. You know, one of the most broadcast words at a funeral was they were faithful. When they're a faithful person, a lot of times we didn't always call them that while they were alive. A lot of times we didn't always encourage them because of how faithful they had been to God's work. But I want people to come here and see a church. I want to go through decades. Folks, I just want to place on your heart what God's burdened my heart for. As the pastor, we're growing, and there ought to be new people here because people come in and people have moved and they've joined our church. But I want longevity. There's some folks that come on Sunday morning. There's one charter member of this place. I want that to be true of us. I want people to come back after decades, and people say, I was raised in this church. I went to the Christian high school, and I graduated, and I've been sticking it out here, and I've grown up, and this is my church. Amen. Hey, folks, it's not the preacher's church. It's the Lord's church. But collectively, we make up the church. Hey, the lily work of faithfulness, that is something that every day you have to work on. It's not something I can do. That's something that you let God do on the inside of you. You know, I made a decision. Our church had a big church split one time. And I don't think we're on the edge of a church split. Don't let me say that. I don't want you to think that. But my church had that. You know, I had to weigh out all the things. People I loved left there. And when I weighed it all out, I sat down and I said, they're still walking with God's word. My preacher did not sin. My church is right here. I'd rather stay and help it be rebuilt than to leave and try to grow something else, to do something else. I just want to be honest with you folks. You know what? I really came to a place where God never led me away from it. And even though there was turmoils and there were storms, I said, this is my church. Amen. And the only reason I can take you back to that day that I measured out and meted that decision in my life, that was a big deal to me. But the only reason that I'm the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church that day is because of the lily work that had happened in my life before that day. And I made a decision to be faithful. And from that day till this, that faithfulness led me to this place. Amen. Hey, folks, I don't know what God's going to do with your life. I don't know what God's going to do in all those things. But when you decide to do the lily work in the places that no one else will see, God can change things. Listen, when we do the lily work, we follow God's pattern. That's laid down in the scripture. Following him. When we do the lily work, we fulfill a purpose that God has made for each and every one of us. And we won't have the joy of the Lord until we're doing the lily work and fulfilling the purpose that God made us for in his church. And I'll say this lastly. All of the lily work happens in a fixed place, and it's in the temple of God. Too many times we think of this building as the temple. And this is not the temple. We call it the sanctuary because of tradition. And the only reason this place is holy is because of the temples that are sitting in it. This carpet was bought and put in a bar room just as much as it was put in a church house. These pews were made for places that preach wrong doctrine as well as it was right doctrine. And we've got to keep it ever before our mind that this is the temple. You are the temple, not this. Too many people will lose their mind over someone desecrating God's sanctuary. And somebody can fall into sin and it doesn't even bother them. And their temple, their personal temple has been desecrated. That is what should break us. Because truthfully, in the Christian life, a pillar of the church is crumbling around us. But as long as it didn't happen in here, we're okay. Hey, folks, the message tonight is details happen by design. The message should bring us to a choice. I don't know what the Holy Spirit told you that you need to do, the detail that you need to start working on, the place, the secret place that you need to increase in, but I know this. Listen, God has spoken to your heart. You know that Jason? I told you I'd talk about these two names, and I'll finish up. Jason was one of the pillars, and the name is He Will Establish, and the other pillar was Boaz. And he's the greatest, next to Jesus Christ, kinsman redeemer that ever lived. Hey, folks, do you know that when he named those two things, that's God's temple. When you walked up to that place, you saw God will establish, or he will establish, a kinsman redeemer. Amen. In my life, in your life, when we're standing and holding to the faith, holding faithfully to the word and everything that God has done for our life, you know what the church ought to be a picture of? That he has sent a kinsman redeemer. And that you can come into his house and you can be a pillar too. Hey, folks, I want my life to be that way. I want our church to be a bunch of pillars that have the lily work all done so that God can be seen in us because of the secret places. The lily work that's done in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, the greatest kinsman redeemer that's ever lived, the one that came from heaven and died on Calvary and rose again on the third day to pay for your sin, well, I hope you'll step out tonight and receive him. If you're here and you know you need to work on the lily work of your life, you need to work on the fellowship and maybe the charity and we could go through the list of prayer and all the things that we preached on. Step out and come. Hey, maybe you need to decide you're going to join this church and become one of its pillars tonight through baptism or just joining the church. I pray that you'll step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Bow your heads with me tonight. Folks have come. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, I preach to the church tonight, but if you're here and you don't know Christ, we would love for you to come and let us take a Bible and show you how that Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary can change your eternal destiny. It can take you from a person that is on their way to hell and give you a home in heaven. If you'll step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me.
you bow your heads with me tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking but me and God. How many of you say tonight, preacher, I want you to pray for me. Pray for me tonight, preacher. Something you preached on tonight touched my heart. It helped me. I need to grow in one of these areas. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you tonight? Maybe you made your way to the altar. Maybe you didn't, but I want to pray for you tonight. I want to see our pillars. You can put your hands down tonight. I appreciate you being honest and raising your hand. If God spoke to us, as I pray tonight, I want you to be reminded, and we're going to have days that we don't always make it, and we don't always draw the lily work that we want to, but we have to be diligent to have the details drawn by design the way God wants them to. We can't give up because we didn't meet one day. We got to give ourselves again to God, crucify the flesh, and go on. And as I pray tonight, I want you to pray. And I'm not going to ask you to make a commitment to me, but I'd ask the church to make a commitment to Almighty God. God, if you'll help me, I'm going to see this done in my life. God, if you'll help me, I want to turn this area of my life over to you. I want to see the lily work done on the inside of my life. I'm going to pray here as the music plays, and I want you to pray where you are. And we'll have the invitation done tonight. But if you're here and you're not saved, while we pray, why don't you step out and come? I'd meet you at the front after I finish praying. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for the hands that were raised. I thank you for our people, God, that have raised their hands. And I, without a doubt, Lord, every one of us has something in our lives, an area that we've held back from you, or a place that we've let the devil draw his design instead of the Lord's. Lord, I pray that you'd give your Holy Spirit power in their lives. Help people to be yielding to you even now, that God, you would do a work that would be pleasing unto you, that the inside of these temples that are inside this building tonight, that are a part of your church, God, that they'll be changed. They'll be different, and it won't be something that everybody can see, but that you can see. A thing that will bring you glory, not them. God, I pray that you do a work in our church. Help us, Lord, tonight. We'll ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.